Now coming up on Monitor, Meet the Press, the prize-winning interview program produced by Lawrence Spivak. Ready for the unrehearsed conference are John Steele of Time and Life, Earl Mazo, the New York Herald Tribune, Jack Bell of Associated Press, and Richard Harkness of NBC News. They will talk with Senator Stiles Bridges of New Hampshire, chairman of the Senate Republican Policy Commission, and a member of the important Armed Services, Appropriations, and Aeronautical and Space Sciences Committees. Here is the moderator of Meet the Press, Ned Brooks.
The new administration's legislative program is about to undergo its crucial test in Congress. In the days ahead, such issues as aid to education, a higher minimum wage, medical care for the aged, and the farm program will command top attention. As to the outcome, much will depend on the position taken by the Republican minority, the loyal opposition. Our guest today is the senior Republican of the Senate and chairman of the Senate Republican Policy Committee, Senator Stiles Bridges of New Hampshire. He is now entering his 25th year in the Senate, having been reelected in November by the largest vote ever recorded in his home state. His influence in legislative matters is underscored by his assignments to Senate committees. He is the ranking Republican on the Appropriations Committee, the Armed Services Committee, and the Committee on Aeronautics and Space. And now we're ready to start with questions, Mr. Harkness.
Senator Bridges, President Kennedy will have been inaugurated 2 months ago, tomorrow. How do you assess the new frontier to date, special attention on promises and programs and performance?
Well, he sent up to date, Mr. Harkness, some 29 messages. I would say that is the greatest accomplishment of the administration to date, that he has certainly sent up the messages which carry out some of the recommendations which he's made and the promises made. But as far as enacting into law, definitely, and specific things, not too much has been accomplished to date.
Senator, judging by those weekly Ev and Charlie television shows, so-called, it seems to me that the Republicans have come out against almost everything. There was the fight over rules. There was the fight on unemployment compensation. Tell me, what is the Republican Party for?
Well, the Republican Party is for a sound program for America. And we stand for essentially, fundamentally, the same things which we outlined in the Republican platform. And we're trying to carry those out. I think as far as the Ev and Charlie show is concerned, which you speak of, it's a new adventure in television, perhaps a new adventure in press conference for the minority party to have some sort of a program which can reach the public to offset some of the prime time Mr. Kennedy's getting and putting over his program and his ideas.
Senator, just one more question here on the first go-round. I have the impression from the Dirksen-Halleck statements that you're not really bombarding with criticism, that it's more sort of restrained sniping. Is this a strategy for you to speak softly and carry a big political stick?
Well, we want to see how the Kennedy program unwinds first, and we've been a little restrained, yes, particularly on confirmation of appointments, for example. On confirmation of appointments, we've gone on the theory that the president, at least in the first go-round, should have the privilege of making appointments according to his choice, even if we question his judgment on many of them. And so we've gone long on that basis. But we're going to stiffen up on that type of reaction. And we are going to remember that Mr. Kennedy, when he was a senator, didn't hesitate to oppose the appointment of President Eisenhower's nominee. He opposed, for example, Admiral Strauss. Mm-hmm. He opposed Scotty McLeod as ambassador to Ireland and others. And so Mr. Kennedy has got to stand the same test on appointments which he applied when he was a senator of the United States.
Mr. Bell.
Well, Senator, I wonder who you're going to stiffen up with. Who's left? Hasn't he named almost everybody?
Well, he's gone round the first, around the, all the top appointments, but many of the commission appointments are yet to come. And he'll be, if my guess isn't wrong, he'll be replacing some of those that he's already appointed.
Well, could it be that some of you Republicans would be happy to hang some of these nominees around the president's neck? Is that the
thought?
Well,
we think that some of the appointments that he's made, and a notable one would be Sophie Williams and his travels over in Africa, are going to hang kind of heavy around the president's neck before he's through.
I want to go to one other thing here. Recently, your policy committee has given unusual attention to some of the utterances of Governor Rockefeller of New York. Are you now writing a winter book on the 64 Republican nomination? Is Rockefeller your winter book man?
No, sir, we're not. We are. It's too early to write a winter book on the 64 election.
Well, it's a winter.
But we are. Yes, it's the winter, but that's in coming spring. But what we are trying to do is to bring into the leadership forum, which as a result of the publication which we put out to interested Republicans everywhere in the Senate, quotations and statements from outstanding Republicans in the country, and certainly Governor Rockefeller would have to qualify as one.
Well, now, Senator, you haven't had a single statement made by Vice President Nixon printed in your forum since January 1st. Why is this?
Well, Vice President Nixon, up till 2 or 3 days ago, hadn't made any statements since January 1st. Undoubtedly, we're going to have some statements by Vice President
Nixon.
Well,
I'll have to challenge that, Senator. He's made several statements.
Well, he made one, I think, that was recorded from Miami, and one the other day in California, and we're going to quote from them.
You're going to let him get in the book, then?
We certainly are. We're going to keep him in the book and perhaps some others, too.
Mr. Steele.
Senator Bridges, along the same line, perhaps some others. Who are some of these others that you just told Mr. Bell might be in the winter book, too?
Oh, certainly people like Senator Goldwater, perhaps Governor Hatfield of Oregon. We've got many outstanding Republicans that we'd like to bring into the leadership. And my guess is the momentum of events that are going to occur, they're going to be so great in the next few years that we may have many new personalities in the Republican Party by 1964.
Senator Bridges, it sounds to me as though you're saying that Vice President Nixon by no means is a shoo-in to be the Republican nominee in 64 or 8. Is this correct?
I think the fact that he was the nominee before in no way assures him of the nomination next time, neither does it disqualify him either.
You've been reported as somewhat critical of his campaign last fall. Are these reports correct? Did you think?
Well, I think that the campaign come out last fall, the closest campaign since 1884. As a matter of fact, we might have won the election. I mean, unofficially and informally, but technically we didn't.
Well, you haven't quite answered my question. Were you satisfied with the vice president's performance in that campaign?
I was satisfied with part of it, but the latter, towards the latter end, I thought the campaign should have been conducted more aggressively, and I don't think he should ever have gone into the debates with Senator Kennedy. I think all he did was build up Senator Kennedy in that instance.
Senator, is it our reports correct that you are seriously considering the advisability of an early announcement for Governor Rockefeller of New York as the choice in 1964?
No, I'm not considering anything. I think that if Governor Rockefeller should win the governorship of New York in 62 by a substantial majority, I think he will be a very formidable candidate. Equally, do I think that if Mr. Nixon by chance should run for governor of California and win by a good majority, he would re-enter the picture as a very formidable candidate.
Do you think he has to run for the governorship of California to be seriously?
I think that would help him a great deal. I don't say that that is a pre-qualification.
How would it help him?
Because it would project him as the governor of the second biggest state in the Union, and that is always a good springboard.
Mr. Mazel.
Senator Bridges is a
a very savvy political strategist, proven by your victory last November, which was percentage-wise the biggest of any Republican in the country. Who do you think would be the best vote-getter between Rockefeller and Goldwater?
Well, I don't know. I think it depend on events at the time. I think that in certain sections of the country, Governor Rockefeller certainly would run better, and certain sections Goldwater, but the events...
Well, you know the country. Nationally, who do you think would be better?
I think it's too early to say.
Could I ask you this, sir?
I want to correct one thing you said. I was the ranking... received the second highest majority of votes in the nation of any senator reelected, but Margaret Chase Smith edged me out by a fraction. I want to give her that credit.
That's right, 0.1%. How well off or how badly off is the Republican Party?
Not badly off when we polled 34 million votes in the last election. Not bad off when Nixon carried 228 congressional districts and Kennedy only carried 206. Not badly off when we carried 26 states and Mr. Kennedy only carried 23. I think we're in pretty good shape. But the point is, Mr. Mazo, is to keep up the interest of Republicans and keep this a virile, live party so that we can play a part as a two-party system. The only thing that I want to say, I know that Mr. Kennedy is on a honeymoon trip now with the country. Every president has his honeymoon sessions with the country, and he's having sort of a romance with the press and the radio and the television as well. And during this period, I want to keep the vital parts of the Republican organization functioning, so when the time comes in 62 and 64, we'll really have an opportunity.
On that score, sir, what do you think of Senator Keating's idea and proposal for a top-level Republican, all-Republican committee that included not only the congressional leadership, but also some other leaders like Eisenhower and Nixon and Rockefeller and Lodge and so forth?
I think before the next election, certainly that should be very serious considered. I think that I would, generally speaking, favor that idea.
Mr. Harkness.
Senator, one of your colleagues told me that in the last 3 weeks of the last campaign, that you, Senator Dirksen, Charlie Halleck, tried to get to candidate Nixon, could get no closer than his secretary, and you're described in a New Hampshire paper as having been hopping mad. Is that fair?
As you know, I've been very close to Dick Nixon over the years, and I was close to him through the campaign. But it is true that during the last few weeks of the campaign, I'd say I was busy with my own campaign in New Hampshire, that attempts to reach him were unsuccessful. And I think that held true with various other Republican leaders in the country. And I think that it's too bad because we might have had some rather good suggestions to make.
That's fine. You said yes. let me carry that out. Were you in on this recent reported decision to bar Senator Goldwater as a regular member of your Republican leadership conference?
We started the leadership conference with the same group that had met with President Eisenhower for the past 8 years. And then the question came up, after they were meeting, whether it should be enlarged or not. I was one of the group that favored, including Mr. Miller, William Miller, chairman of the Congressional Committee, Mr. Goldwater, chairman of the Senatorial Committee, and why? Because I felt that if they were going to run the congressional campaign and the senatorial campaign next year, it was well for them to be in on the making and discussing of the issues.
Mr. Bell.
Senator, I'd like to examine a little more closely a statement that you made just a moment ago, that you don't believe that Vice President Nixon should have debated Senator Kennedy. You think you attribute part of that to Nixon's defeat. Does this mean that Kennedy, having said he is willing to debate in 1964, you don't think the Republicans ought to have anybody debate with him?
Well, I mean, in this case, I was surprised when Mr. Kennedy made the statement. He must feel that the debates were very successful. My position, as far as the Nixon thing was concerned, was here was the Vice President of the United States who had exposure over the previous 8 years as in the second highest office in the land. And I thought that in going into the debates, all he could do was to advertise Kennedy and bring him before the country. And I think that's what was accomplished. Therefore, I would have, if I had been making the decision, been against it.
Well, now you're in the same position with President Kennedy. After 4 years in office, he's certainly going to have been exposed to the country a great deal. Yet he is willing to go ahead and debate with the Republican candidate.
Well, if he doesn't change his mind, I certainly take him up, because I see it worked the other way. See, and no reason why we shouldn't take advantage of it, too.
You said also there are going to be a number of personalities in the Republican Party. Can you go beyond Nixon, Goldwater, and Governor Rockefeller at this point for a presidential candidate?
No,
do you
can't.
See anybody who looks like a presidential candidate?
I see a lot of them that look like presidential candidates, but I don't care to name any at this time.
Well, do you think you will get a Wilkie down from the galleries again in 64?
Well, it's entirely conceivable with the changing of events where we might.
Mr. Steele.
Senator Bridges, in a few days, you and one other senator will start an interrogation into the release of Captains McCone and Olmsted, the RB-47 flyers released recently by the Russians. Why is this interrogation going to be conducted behind closed doors?
Well, there are certain security reasons for it. I have been one of those that have been urging the inquiry, and I still think it and believe it should be made. But there are certain security reasons relative to the flights itself, which the administration and the Defense Department and the senators involved, after hearing a preliminary examination, believe that that should be true. But, however, I think that there are certain phases of it could well be heard in public, and I hope will be.
Senator, who specifically requested the secrecy surrounding this interrogation?
I believe that it was a mutual understanding between the Defense Department and the senators making the discussion, which were probably Senator Russell and Senator Stennis.
Do you agree with this decision to
proceed? I agree with keeping part of it silent in executive session, but I think that other phases of it should be opened up.
Senator, one other question pertaining to the Armed Services Committee. There have been recurrent reports that the B-70 manned bomber program, the advanced bomber, may be cut back. Have you heard anything of this? And if so, what is your opinion of any such?
Yes, I've heard about it, and I'm very disturbed by it. You remember that last year we included the B-70 program as a result of action by the Senate Appropriation Committee after we'd gone into the matter very thoroughly. Now I understand, and I'm not attributing this solely to the Kennedy administration, it may have been partially done in the Eisenhower administration, that certain of the funds have been withheld from spending, and that there is now going on under this administration a survey as to see whether how much the program will go forward in the next fiscal year. I'm disturbed about that, because I believe that with the B-47s being phased out, the B-52s and the B-58s, that we've got to go into some great mobile factor in our Air Force, and I think the B-70 is the answer to it.
Is the committee looking into this?
The committee hasn't taken action yet, but I presume that they will shortly.
Senator, one of the controversial bills that the Senate will soon be voting on is the aid to education bill, and the controversy seems to be centering on whether they should vote aid to parochial schools. Is your committee going to take any position on that?
No, I don't think we'll take any position on it because we recognize, or I recognize, that on the question of the separation of church and state on grants to schools, and we respect it. But we also recognize that we have broken down the barrier of loans to private schools and parochial schools in the past. For instance, the National Defense Educational Act. We loan money for the purchase of equipment, scientific equipment, to high schools and other schools under that act, whether they be private, parochial, or public schools. Community Facilities Acts on loan to college dormitories. We loan whether it's a Catholic institution or whether it's a Lutheran institution or whether it's a public institution. On school lunches, for example, we don't discriminate. We furnish school lunches to private schools, the parochial school children, and to the public schools, so that there is that question there. And I don't think we'll take any position on the thing, but it's certainly an interesting one to explore.
Mr. Basil.
Senator, a couple of purely political questions. Senator Morton is stepping down soon, as you know, as your national chairman of the Republican Party. Who do you favor as his successor?
Well, my two favorites would be, and I'd have no choice between the two, would be Ray Bliss of Ohio, who's done a wonderful job in organizing in Ohio, or Bill Miller, the chairman of the House Congressional Committee, who I think did a wonderful job when he brought in 22 new Republican congressmen to the House number this past year. I think either one of them could do a good job.
As a practical matter in the election next year, Senator, do you think that your party can pick up enough seats to win either the House or the Senate or both?
We couldn't win the Senate next year.
It's impossible.
It would be impossible to do it. But with a trim, we could pick up the majority in the House, but that all depends upon political trends, which can't be foreseen at the present time.
Does the trend look your way now? What do you
think? I mean, as I said earlier, Mr. Mazel, Mr. Kennedy, the administration's in the honeymoon stage. You've got to get out of that stage before you can really judge its effect. I don't know. Let's take the farm bill, which had come in last week. Bill, if it's proposed, would be chaos for the farmers and brutal for the consumers, and a complete abdicating on the part of the administration and just throwing it wide open. And there are many things that could open up a Pandora's box in that bill alone. And so we haven't got the full picture here yet.
Do you favor, as some members of the two parties do, a realignment with conservatives going to one party and liberals to another of the two parties?
Well, that'd be kind of hard to attain. Of course, it would be an ideal situation if you could attain it. But in the meantime, we try to work in the Republican circles, keeping Republicans together and taking the Republican Policy Committee. We serve a man like Senator Javits, a Senator Case, just as well as we do a Senator Goldwater, and do a good job at it.
Mr. Harkness, we have about 2 minutes, gentlemen.
All right. Senator, was there any gain for us, the United States, security-wise, when your state of New Hampshire barred that group of Russian journalists, you know, supposed to go to New Hampshire and look at your state town meeting day? Why was that done?
I don't know, because I wasn't in it. But, I mean, when they were called, invited in there to participate in a discussion, panel discussion, about internal matters, which they were in this country. I mean, if they discussed international matters, that might be one thing. When they were going to discuss Little Rock or some other thing in this country, I could see no advantage in that to the country or to the state either.
Mr. Bell.
Senator, President Kennedy has said that he wants authority, sort of standby authority, to furnish foreign aid to Iron Curtain countries. Are Republicans going to oppose that?
Well, I don't know what Republicans are going to do. I have been, as you well know, opposed to generally to aid to Iron Curtain countries. And I've certainly got to be sold if I change my mind on it.
Mr. Steele.
Senator Bridges, opposition to the entry of Communist China to the United Nations seems to be dwindling. If Communist China is admitted to the United Nations, what do you think we should do?
Well, now, before I think it may be dwindling in the minds of some people, but generally in this country, I don't think it's dwindling. The opposition is dwindling at all. It may be in the minds of Adlai Stevenson, judging by some of the statements that he's made, which I don't approve of and which we intend to ask him about when the time comes. But in the country as a whole, not. No, I'm not ready to concede that we're ready to admit Red China under any conditions.
Brazil and the United Kingdom, for two countries, seem to have changed their attitude toward it. Now, supposing she is admitted, what happens then? Do you think that we should leave the organization?
No, I don't think we can leave the United Nations, but I think we'll have to readjust our whole sights.
I'm sorry to interrupt at this point, but I see that our time is up. Thank you very much, Senator Bridges, for being with us.
Our thanks to Senator Stiles Bridges and the members of the panel, John Steele of Time and Life, Earl Mazo of the New York Herald Tribune, Jack Bell of Associated Press, and Richard Harkness, NBC News. Meet the Press, which is in its 16th year on the air, is produced by Lawrence Spivak.